smiling at him. It's like, why did you smile? I'm like, well, I just smiled at everyone.
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Sasha Kalawangoma. Sasha is a filmmaker, a photographer, an entrepreneur. How are you doing, Sasha?
I'm doing well and everything is all right. Thank you so much for having me here.
The pleasure is all mine. So Sasha, can you just give us an introduction about yourself?
So I was born and bred in Mutare. I'm 25 years old and I decided to follow my passion. I was supposed to be an accountant, but back in 2017, when I finished my A-level in 2016, and then 2017, that's when I jumped into the whole filmmaking career. So I've been pretty much doing videos and photos for almost 7+ years, and pretty much that's where how I started my everything. I was raised by a single mom, and because of seeing her struggling every time and stuff like that, kind of motivated me to be the person I am right now. So I kind of owe everything to my mom.
A lot of people are also in similar situation in you. As you can see, that didn't hold you back. A lot of people would give excuses, you know, but for you, it drove you to become better. So can you also tell us, how did you then move to the States?
So what happened is, when I started in Mutare, I started in Mutare. Yeah, we used to take pictures. I'm pretty sure if you go to Mutare, if you ask people around, most people know me, because when I started doing pictures, they're not as popular as it is now. So we're pretty much few photographers back then. And I had to put in extra hours. I had to grind. There's sometimes I had to do free photo shoots. Like, I did more free photo shoots than I charged for, like, charge photo shoots. So this kind of like made my name go a little bit further. Up until in 2020, just before COVID, I had recently moved to Harare to expand, because I was getting bigger than Mutare. So I was like, let me just go to Harare for more challenges and stuff like that. So when I moved to Harare, started doing stuff, COVID happened. And even when COVID happened, when things were tight, I found myself, you know, having to work with big people. I used to, you know, I've done stuff with King 98. I've done stuff. I think pretty much I've done work with almost all the musicians in Zimbabwe, like the big musicians, like Japrase. You know, I've done a lot of stuff. So when I was doing stuff for those guys, it kind of made me realize, you know what? I think I'm aiming too low. Let me try to expand. So I was thinking, I'm like, okay, fine, which is the best place that I can go? So good thing is, I had a friend who I once did some stuff with back when I was doing videos in Mutare. I was like, man, I'm this side, you know, if you want to come this side, you know, it's easy. So this is what I would do now. So during the day, because of different time zones, it kind of helped me also a lot, because during the day, I'd be focusing on my hustle in Harare. And then during the night, I'm up all night trying to do some editing for some people in the United States. So I used to apply for jobs on Fiverr, and then jobs on Canva, and then I have some sort of platforms. And then one of the guys were like, whoa, you're really good, you know, and your friend has been telling us some nice stuff. Why don't you come here and touch your own stuff so that it's easier for us to pay you, you know, than having you to be there. And you know, once you're here, it's easy. We give you work directly, you get to work, and then once you're done, we pay you there. And then if you need also other people, we can also help you find other people. So I ended up coming here. That was in 2021, early 2021, mid 2021. That's when I came here and ended up starting a media agency. And pretty much I've been doing some crazy stuff around. I've done work for the Chirica Hospital, one of the biggest medicals center in the United States. I was the first Black person to film Burning Man. There's this festival called Burning Man where 85,000 people show up, and it's like a worldwide thing. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I was there, people were like, how do you end up here? So this was some of the work that I've done in Zimbabwe, and they're like, wow, this is amazing, considering the fact that you're coming from Africa. Do you want the position? And I was like, well, yeah, why not? So I ended up, you know, they made me like the head, and I filmed the whole thing 2 weeks nonstop. I made an amazing video, and they're like, wow, you know what? we're going to sign you a contract for the next 5 years. You're going to be the one who's going to be filming this thing. And don't worry about equipment. We have partners like DJI. We've got partners like Panasonic and Sony. You know, you just write down a list of the equipment that you want. And then you get to film. And then after the event, you keep the equipment. I'm like, oh, okay, sounds good. So that's pretty much how I ended up moving here. It's just because I wanted more challenges. And because, you know, I was just born hungry and I wanted more. Because even when I was in Mutare, all I wanted, you know, was just more. I never spent any of the money that I made. All the money went towards buying equipment and all the money went towards investing in the craft, trying to make, you know, my work better as I could.
That's a lovely way to move to the States. Like you said, it started off with just doing some jobs online and two people just really noticed the talent and like, wow, instead of trying to balance this double life of during the day, yeah, in working in Zimbabwe and stuff, during the night, you're doing this, why don't you just come in, commit fully? It really takes a lot, especially just to jump out of your comfort zone, because I imagine going there, of course, you might add a bit of imposter syndrome. They were saying, maybe I'm not good enough to be on certain platforms, so I might have to hold back. So before we continue with your story, can you just give people how you got into the creative works, photography, videography? What drove you towards those things?
So this is actually an interesting thing. I've always liked taking pictures, even when I was a kid. That has been something that I was really passionate about. But my mom didn't want me to do that. My mom wanted me to be an accountant. Good thing, at church, for some reason, one of my pastors was like, well, I see you making it doing what you love. Don't, I know you're not that academically good. Because trust me, I wasn't the brightest student. People from my class will tell you, like, you know, when it comes to me trying to understand stuff, equations and stuff like that, I was just average, you know. Like, I had to fight my way up to be an average student at the school. So I remember my pastor saying, yeah, I don't see you making it doing, you know, all this school stuff, you know, just I see you doing stuff that you love. And then I was like, okay. I went home. I remember that day crying because I was like, I love taking pictures. And from what I remember, not to shame or what, but I understand it's a hassle. I don't know if you know the Mikko's Park. Yeah, so I was looking, and I'm like, nah, so does it mean that I'm going to be like, you know, part of the guy's going to be taking pictures at Mikko's Park and stuff like that? So I cried because I was like, whoa, I don't want, you know, to end up going through the same situation that I had to go through in my brother's, where everything was a struggle, you know, to get. You know, there are times where things were really tight for us. And I was like, I don't want the same thing to happen to my kids. So I was like, okay, fine. If I'm going to make this thing work, doing things that I like, I got to look for people who are already doing this thing and who are doing good. So there's a guy who also, every time I always thank him, he's the main reason why I'm here, where I am right now, apart from my mom. His name is Tinash. I don't know if you know Tinash Photography. When I finished my A-level? Yeah, when I finished my A-level, I went to him because I had seen he was taking nice pictures and he was living a nice lifestyle. I was like, no, this is the life that I want. And for me to be able to live like this, I need to find out from this guy how he's doing it. So I went to Tina. I was like, man, can I just come and work for you? And then I can even work for free if you want. You know, he was in Harare, I was in Mutare. So when I finished my A-level, I went to his place and then I worked for him for a couple of months. Yeah, a couple of weeks. And then I got to learn as much as I could. I literally learned a lot, like a lot. And then seeing him doing his stuff and seeing him living the life that I was living from just taking pictures in Harare, he kind of opened my mind. I was like, oh, okay. So if this guy is living it, he's driving a nice car, he has a nice family, he has a nice house. And if he's doing it by taking pictures, you know, I can also do it. So I went back to Mutare and then I was like, let me start this thing. But back then, like I said, you know, all these Rora photo shoots and all those, you know, shoots were not popular. So I had to work my way up. And that's how I just started. I didn't have any camera. I didn't have any money. My mom never supported me or given me anything, you know, like pretty much everything that I have or everything that I had to work extra hard. I remember after I came from Tinash, I had some money. I went to the bookstore. There's a bookstore that I used to work for in downtown. So I would work there. And then whenever I get an opportunity to get a photo shoot, I would go, there's another friend of mine who had a camera. I would go borrow his camera, pay him, pretty much rent his camera, do a photo shoot that I'm not being paid for, and then edit the pictures, deliver the pictures, go back to work. So that, I was really grateful that the job that I had in downtown selling stationery was a little bit flexible. And then that wasn't enough. I remember the money that I was making there wasn't really that enough for the stuff that I wanted to buy. But I kind of saved that to buy money for lights, for photos. That's the first thing that I started, because I was like, okay, fine. If I'm going to do my work differently, most people in Ontario were not using lighting photographs. So I was like, let me start with lights and then I'll focus on the camera afterwards. So I bought the lights, and I also got a job red delivery with Lobos. Yeah, it was Lobos. So I would do like overnight on Sunday after church or later on, I would go at Kane's Food, get bread, go to Murambinda. That will be Monday morning. We deliver bread Monday morning, the whole day, sleep in Murambinda. And then Tuesday, we come back collecting all the empty crates and all the money. And then we get home Tuesday evening. We go home to sleep. Wednesday, we do the same thing. So it kind of also helped me save up some money to buy equipment. So I ended up also saving money. All the money that I was making, like literally, I wasn't buying, you know, people of my age were busy buying clothes, going out, having fun with girls on dates. I was pretty much putting all the money that I was making into the business. And that's how everything started. So yeah, I started small, and then when I started doing that, I started expanding up until I had other people helping me, and you know, I was paying them and everyone was happy.
That is something so special, you know. Like you said, maybe your mom at the start didn't support, but seems like God had a plan for you, because a lot of people around you were pushing you towards that photography. Then, like you said, you had the pastor's support, then you had tenacious support, who I can say became like a mentor to you, showed you the ropes and showed you that it is possible to live a life just taking pictures of other people and editing them for them. Then I imagine, how was the transition then from being a creative guy to being an entrepreneur when you started your own agency? How was that transition? Because I feel like that's something which will be totally different from just taking pictures, editing them and taking videos and just like, but now having a whole entire team of people working under you who you're getting them clients and making sure that they're able to produce the same quality of work you would probably produce. How was that transition for you?
So the thing is, when I finished A-level, up to now, you know, I haven't even collected my A-level results. Not, you know, it's because I was a little bit scared. I'm still scared of my exams, because I knew I was going through a tough time in my life and I didn't do well. So plus also I still have some owings with fees I haven't even paid. I was like, you know what, they can keep them. But what happened was, you know, the hunger, I was just hungry for more. And I knew if I was going to be, you know, if I keep on taking pictures, yes, I was going to enjoy. But at the same time, you know, there's the money side, and I still need to pocket money in my own pocket. So I'm really grateful for YouTube, because most of like everything that I know, I think if you know, just the basic I learned from other people, and then from what I learned from Tinash, like just the basics, I had to, most of the time, if you ask people who used to do stuff with me, they'll tell you, I spend 80% of my free time on YouTube trying to figure out, okay, fine, what's going on? How do you save money? How do you make money? I didn't even go to university or something like that, but I had to learn from YouTube, like, okay, fine, this is how you charge. Okay, you need return on investment on your equipment, because there's no point whereby you invest 5,000 in a camera, you know, like a red camera. It costed me a lot of money, but you know, you need a red camera and you need return on investment. So you need to know, okay, fine, if I buy this camera, for how long is it gonna give me money? And then at the same time, I also need to pocket in, other people also need to live from this. So it kind of helped on pricing and stuff like that. So being an entrepreneur is more from, I can say the good thing is if you do it right, you can make it, but then you gotta stay in your own lane, which is something that I had to learn, that you know what, as an entrepreneur, you don't need to compare yourself with the next person. See what you can do, see what you're able to do, and just focus on that. You look at your strength, you do your SWOT analysis. Okay, fine, these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. And then you focus on your strength, because at the end of the day, you know, we need to eat. You know, whatever you do, of course, it might be a passion and you don't mind doing it for free for the rest of your life. Because like what people say, hey, if you want to do something, but you love that you can do it for free for the rest of your life. But you need to know the world is wicked, man. You pretty much can't do anything without money. You know, the camera that you want to buy, or the computer, you know, Apple is not going to be like, hey, okay, we understand your passion. Come, you know, we just released a new MacBook 15-inch. You know, come get it for free because you're passionate. It doesn't work that way. You know, base to buy a computer, you need $2,000. So you got to figure out a way of, you know, saving up that 2,000. Either you save, or if you don't save, you got to have some money because they're not going to give you stuff for free. So that's one thing that I realized. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, of course, I'm going to stay in my own lane, but I need to know that the world is wicked. Wherever I go, there's someone out there who's planning to get my money. And the moment I walk out, there's someone waiting for my money. And at the same time, I can't be the one who's giving people money. I'm also supposed to be getting money from other people, you know, all those corporates and all those clients. Also, I need to get money from them because people say, you know, the love of money is bad and stuff like that. But I think we just need a little bit more financial literacy. Because it's not bad to want money, because that's pretty much how the world works. You don't have money, yet you don't have access. You know, you have access, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So it's all about, at the end of the day, you know, whether you're creative or not, you still have to figure out a way. Okay, fine, how can you, at the end of the day, take money to eat? So this is something that I've always, like, you know, people who know me, I'm not yet where I am or where I want to be. I have crazy dreams and I have lots of ambition. Like right now, like I'm telling you, to be honestly speaking, I'm actually on vacation. I mean, in Mexico's place called San Carlos. And, you know, yesterday we were on a yacht, literally on a yacht. I have pictures I can show you on how I think we were on a yacht. And one of my friends is the one who flew us in here. You know, he has a jet, you know, he's a pilot, he can fly and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, fine. What's the difference between these people and, you know, and I'm just pretty much basically hanging in the wrong league. And, you know, you need to know there's a better world out there that is waiting. You know, speaking from which, I mean, kid from Mutare, grew up in Mutare, I went to Chancellor. You know, after Chancellor, I went to St. Dominic's. I never thought I was going to be one day, you know, having a party at a yacht, you know, or flying private, or, you know, just something like that. It's something that, you know, the world is big. You just need access, and you can't get the access unless you have the money. And at the end of the day, you know, you need to know whatever you're going to be doing, it's all about, it all comes to money, you know, money. So I would say to people out there, look, invest much in your financial literacy, as much as you invest in your craft. If you spend 5 hours learning how to use a camera, you need to spend at least 5 hours learning how to go sit down with clients, you know, getting how to close, you know, because you need to know how to close. There's an art, you know, when it comes to closing a deal, there's an art of closing a deal. You can't literally just show up and convince someone to give you 100K. I'm like, hey man, I'll do this video for you for 100,000. They'll look at you and be like, look, are you crazy? But if you know what you're doing, and if you're confident, and if you have done lots of research and you've practiced, it's easy for you to literally walk and be like, man, I want 100,000 for this project. And if you're not going to give me 100,000, I'm walking away. And people are like, oh, no, come, let's reason together. How about if you're doing 90? I'm like, no, I want a 95. We can do terms. Give me this amount now, and then I can let you finish the rest later. I used to think, you know, 10,000 was a lot of money up until I realized, well, okay, you know, there are people out there, you know, there's someone I know, one friend of mine, if you check on my Instagram, it says Blind LA Entrepreneur. One of my friends, he charges 50,000 for a logo. That same logo, I used to charge $5 in Mutare. I'm like, dude, this is a ripoff. It's like, no. This is value, man. It's not ripoff. I'm like, but look, 50K for a logo that I used to charge $5, that's like 10,000, you know, times what I used to charge when I was at home, when I was trying to learn how to do graphic design. It's like, well, you got to just put yourself in a position and invest more as an entrepreneur. Because at the end of the day, it's all about transaction. Everything is transactional. You know, it's... even the air we breathe, you breathe in air, you breathe out oxygen. That's a transaction, you know. The trees need carbon dioxide. So when you breathe in oxygen and then you release carbon dioxide, you're doing it. That's a proper business deal with the tree, you know. You're giving them what they need, and then they're giving you what they need, and everyone is happy, which is the same, you know. As a creative, the world needs your creativity. But at the end of the day, you know, you also need to be taken care of. So every single little thing, when you wake up, everything that you do is a transaction. This is how I got to learn. I'm like, oh, okay, flip. I just need to learn how to transact in a better position. You know, it's gonna be, everything is all transactional. So I think I would say to people out there, like, you know, as much as you invest in learning a new skill, also learn how to keep money and also learn how to ask money or learn how to get money from that new skill that you're learning.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. There's so much packed in that statement you have said. The first one I quote was the comparison. Like you said, comparison is the thief of joy. You know, don't compare yourself with other people as you're doing whatever you're doing, because I feel like beginners always compare with someone like you, maybe who's had 8 years in the industry. You're like, how can I be there? They're comparing like, oh, they're better, but forgetting that you have put the work. And I really love your work ethic. You're someone who's always hungry for more. You're always wanting to get better and better and investing in the right things. Like you said to the people who are listening, invest what? In your financial literacy. Because the same way you want to buy that $2,000 camera, but you have to invest the same amount of time into figuring out how do you get that $2,000 to buy that camera. It's not just about saving. There might be shortcuts. Instead of saving for 4 months, you can do a client job who pays you $4,000, you're ready of that money you needed to buy the camera. Then staying on your come-up.
That's pretty much how life works.
life is a funny thing. People make it complicated, but some things are just some basic things can really go a long way. Then I'd like to bring up the topic of the Burning Man, the show you've done or you're currently doing. I don't know if you said, is it a 5-year contract? I was like, how was that experience for you, you know, the Burning Man? Like for someone who is maybe at that stage where someone who's just breaking into the industry and now comfortable to do medium-sized project, then these guys come to you and like, we got this big project, this festival, we want you to be the one, our main guy for this thing. How did that feel? How did you go along it? What challenges did you face? How did you overcome them?
So I literally cried the day before I left the plane, because they do it in the desert. Each ticket is like $650 just to get a ticket to go there. And it's more like it's one of the biggest festivals in the world. I didn't know about it for some reason. Like I said, it's kind of like a white community thing. They just did by themselves. It's not really published out there. I had an idea because there's a YouTuber but I didn't put it in mind up until when I had these people telling me, hey, you want to do a video? So when they said, yeah, you want to do a video? I was like, yeah. And then I was like, okay, fine. Let me think of how I can pass. Like, look, forget about the pricing and stuff like that. Right? We don't care about the money. Can you do the job or not? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, fine. What's needed for you to do the job? You know, do you have the capacity? I'm like, I have the capacity, but I don't have resources. And then they're like, no. Funny thing is, I crashed 2 drones on that festival. I had a total of 6. I didn't pay a single cent for all those cameras, even the ones that I crashed. You know, like I was just given lots of stuff. Like, look, just write down a list of whatever you need. Forget about the money. Just tell us what you need to make a good job. And, you know, I was really surprised. Like, okay, fine. What did you guys see in me that I haven't even seen in myself? For some reason, what happened is one of the founders of the event, so that's also another thing that you need to know in life, just treat people right, no matter who they are. There are some people who do not look wealthy, but they're crazy wealthy. This is something that I got to learn, like, and I learned the hard way a couple of times. So there's this guy, his name was John Law. He was a co-founder of the event. So I met this guy and he came over and he was looking for a direction. He was kind of like doing a tourism exploration. So where I live is pretty much, you know, you can't count African or African-American people. Like there are really few people. So I saw him and then I was smiling at him. It's like, why did you smile? I'm like, well, I just smiled at everyone. It's like, well, people don't usually smile here. I'm like, I know people don't smile here. You know, no one really greets people or talk to people. It's more like, you know, I have to go to work. I'm busy. I'm late. Don't talk to me, you know. So I was like, yeah, I'm looking for this place. And then I tried to give him directions. Like, are you busy? I'm like, I'm busy, but yeah, I can schedule in some time. What do you need? It's like, do you want to go for lunch? So I went with them for lunch and then we just talking. I was like, yeah. And then I was telling him about, you know, my filming and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually from Zimbabwe and I'm into filming and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay. I have a couple of friends that you might be interested with. I'm like, okay. So I met the guys who did the whole Home Alone thing. And then like, I started showing them some of my videos that I did when I was in Zimbabwe. They're like, ooh, wow, nice. And then the whole thing went quiet. Next thing, I get an email. It's like, hey, do you wanna go? This is Burning Man. What? Do you wanna come and film? I'm like, how did you get my name? Only to find out later on that the guy I was trying to help look for directions is part of the, you know, he's the co-owner of this whole huge thing. You know, so I went there. I was literally crying trust because not many Black people go there. That's number one. Besides many Black people being there, they just don't get anyone to film their event. It's gonna be someone who's been doing work for Hollywood for like a couple of years, not just a kid showing up from Zimbabwe. It was not even, because they've been doing the festival for over 30 years now. The festival started way before I was even born, and they got me to do edits, you know, to film everything for him, for them, and I was in charge for everything. And I was at a position whereby even the camera that I was using, it was a camera that was probably worth more, I think almost twice the amount of the car that I was using back then. And I was at a position, but even if I could drop it, I was in a position like, hey, I just dropped the camera and stayed in the black. Okay, fine, let's get another camera to come right now. You know, so I was like, oh, okay. I really cried. I was like, God, you know, I know you have a purpose in my life, but this is big. I cried. I was like, thank you. You know, I was really amazed. And when I found out that, I was like, you know, they're like, you're the first Black Zimbabwean showing up here, and besides being a first Black Zimbabwean showing up here, you're the first African person filming this thing, and they do not allow cameras. It's a kind of like a private thingy. I don't know. Besides having 85,000 people showing up, whenever you show up at the gates, they take all the cameras. You can check it up on YouTube. It's called, you know, Burning Man. So they take away all your cameras. You're not allowed to film. If you film with a camera, even phones, they're like, they try to limit, but if you film with a camera, you post a 10-second video on YouTube, they'll sue you and you have to pay them $1 million minimum. So pretty much no one goes there to film because they know the penalty is too much. No one can afford to be paying that much of amount because they literally go off. They have the money to go after everyone. So everyone knows no one goes to Burning Man to film. But I, for some reason, you know, got the opportunity to film there. I have 10 terabytes full of footage and I can do whatever I want, even with the footage. They even told me, we signed some agreement. They're like, oh yeah, you can use the footage whatever you want, but just let us know before you use the footage so that we don't freak out when you see the footage out there. But otherwise, you know, it's something that you need to know is, like I was saying, don't compare yourself with other people. I did 1 million free shoots, you know, where I'm the one who used to, you know, when I used to do weddings, I used to call people like, I want to film you, I want to take pictures at your wedding. People were like, no, we have a photographer. I'm like, don't worry, I'll bring myself to the venue. Forget about my transportation. Forget about paying me. I'm just going to show up and take pictures. Tell me where you guys are going to be changing, where you guys are going to be doing reception. And so I've done my practice, you know, I've done lots of free stuff. So I feel like this is time for me now to start enjoying the fruits of my labor. Because, you know, you sow a good seed, you reap a good fruit. So I've sown countless amounts of free shoots. And that's where I got to learn, I got to practice. You know, if you mess up on a free shoot, you don't owe anyone, you know, you learn, oh, okay, next time I need to carry my memory card. I don't need to leave my memory card at home because I've done stuff whereby I literally go to the shoot without a memory card or I forgot the battery on the charge. You know, it's those little things. But if someone has, you know, is giving you $1,000 and then you shop and like, oh, flip, we forgot the battery and the wedding is starting like immediately, you get in trouble. So don't compare yourself, just keep on pushing, and after you keep on pushing, get inspiration from others, but don't copy them. Just, you need to have your craft unique. Don't, of course, people are doing this and like, what has worked for me is probably not gonna work for you, but I'm not saying don't do it. Just get inspiration, but figure out stuff your own way, because things work differently with different people. So yeah, Burning Man was an experience, man. Like I'm even excited. I'm going to be filming that thing in August, I guess, this year. And I'm being told it's going to be bigger. I'm pretty sure they've sold like 87,000 tickets now.
Amazing. Just amazing. Just amazing. The whole entire story is just amazing. You know, it's something which sounds funny, that the way you got that job was just by smiling at someone and you went for a lunch. Because a lot of people see these things on Instagram, on TikTok or whatever, YouTube, those are my what is it when they do it for funny, for views or those things, and people are like, ah, that'll definitely never happen, doesn't work like that. You just don't greet someone and next thing you got a job. But it's those small things, and I always love that that's something which was instilled to you through the African culture, because you know Africa, so is that thing with smile at everyone, respect your elders, always be helping, and you know the small things like that that you learn as a kid manage you to get such a big event like that, and for you to be propelled into a winter level where someone who might have been better experienced than you who didn't get the chance, but because of the small things that you did, you managed to get that winter opportunity. It's really something that is amazing. Then I would want to focus our talk to something a bit more back to home with our own person who's following your footsteps. They want to do photography, videography. What kind of advice would you give them in the way of creating the vision, right? But there's a budget, you know, the limitations, like they got this big vision, but the budget does not allow them to do that. What advice would you give the people who were in a similar situation like that?
If it's back to home, I would say, you know, you can tell panishungu ni pasna shungu. So even if the budget is not there, you know, it's just, I remember there's a song from Takura, like, any frizzed budget. I mean, they put the frizzy thingy from the red container and a buzz aroma, you know, life will grow fire and stuff like that. You know, sometimes I know, like I was saying, you need resources for things to work. That's why you need to know how to charge. But can I win a shungu is no go on eka? So there's a lot of videos that talks about DIY, do it yourself. You pretty much don't really need like these big sets. One of those guys, there's a guy whose name is K-Man who makes music videos. I don't know if you know him. I've learned something from K-Man whereby it's like, you know what, if we can try to make it ourselves. He was doing a music video for Tammy, and I was there helping them out and doing the stuff like that. We had to create the whole set with ourselves, so we didn't have the lights. Not because we didn't have the money, but we didn't have enough time. We ended up setting up candles. I don't know if you know the song called Siroto by Tammy. We had to put candles like around because we didn't have the little lights around. So there's some stuff that you can't, you know, the budget is tight and things are tight, but you can always make stuff. Like make stuff, go to second hand. You know, you get that stuff. And also, you got to be a person who's really trustworthy. There are people who are willing, you know, you can go to someone, as long as you're trustworthy and you know someone, you can literally go and, you know, I know budget is tight. You don't have access to models or you don't have access to makeup. Do you know, there are a lot of people, I don't know, it doesn't really work that way in Zimbabwe because, you know, things are tight and everyone wants to eat. But if you come to like first world countries, there are people who are willing to volunteer for over 3 months. It's just to volunteer to be part of something. So I think as a person, if you come up with a vision or if you have something, I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% sure on this one, there are people who will be willing to come in for free. I remember I had to go work for Teenage for free. You know, would wake up and do photo shoots every time. Like he had photo shoots back to back. I remember back in those days, Teenage would do like 2 weddings in 1 day, like the whole weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we have like 4 or 5 weddings. And we're like back-to-back weddings. And there are a couple of people who would show up like, you know, I just want to learn. And I just, you know, you might not have the money for that, but there's some people who actually have the money, but they're like, look at DJ Towers. DJ Towers, he goes to people and like, hey, binga, binga. And people give him money and he does whatever he wants. Like there are people who have resources, but they can't really shout or they don't have a platform. And then there's you who have a platform but you don't have resources. That's why you need to, you know, be or linked with these people where you can help them, give them the platform that they need, and then they give you whatever you want. So don't talk about resources. Resources are not limited. We are just limited in our thinking, which is the big problem that we need to fix in the mindset. Resources are there, budgets are tight, I know, but you can make stuff, you can substitute, you can use other stuff, cheap stuff that you can use. And I, you know, and moon and our green market or seeker a German, did all this thing, you know, because I can't afford to buy this thing or do something or get something. You can probably maybe pay 5 mari instead of paying $200 to buy some sort of something, you know. At Miko's yaka farm, I'm tired, so probably maybe I'll say Nash Finishers or whatever. You can really walk in there and get something. Usnamare, just go green market, Baba, help me out. You know, I need this thing, sort it out. Can you do this? Look out for people on Instagram. Hey, I know you've got doing this, and look, I'm a filmmaker and I'm trying to I mean, I'm a photographer. I'm trying to do this thing. Help me out. I'll tag you. And then I'll also list you in the credits. Okay, fine. You know, you do something. This one gives this to me. Check out this one gave to me. As long as you always credit people at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that other people also want to be part of, you know, people want to be part of something at the end of the day. So you just have to create the platform for people to be part of. So don't think that resources are limited. Even money is not limited. Right now, things are tight. Begamona, but it's not like Begamona. Because the people who've got, you know, I know Mari, you know, inflation my one. I was talking to my mom, she was telling me with the 10,000 tinga chingo on. It's, things are tight, but there's always a way. So don't say resources are limited. Just figure way, okay, fine. How can I meet the right people who've got the resources? The people who know Karusha and Doctor. No. I was on a phone call, also I gave it another one. It's like, yeah. You know, we are not affected by everything that is going on in the country right now. We're safe and secure. So resources are mona, but it's not pretty amona munika. It's just you do not have resources and you just need to find, okay, fine. What's my makeshift here? How can I substitute to make resources? Or who can I see or who can I talk to? So I think yengo kwandi. Just you have to make shift and look for the right people. But besides looking for the right people, ignore trust with equity. If right people come up, if they trust you, their resources, are you going to handle their resources in a nice way? I don't need the camera. I did photo shoots like the whole of 2017 and early 2018. I didn't have a camera, but no one knew. But I had four camera. I'll show up with four cameras, but you'll know that it wasn't a banana camera. So I think it's something that you gotta have to be able to manage resources and do something like that. So just look for the people, for the right people. You get their stuff, and then and stuff like that.
I like the way you said, if there's a will, there's a way. If you really want to get some things done, the budget doesn't really matter. You always find workarounds. You make sure that everything, that vision, it may not come out exactly as you wanted it, but it has to come out to the situation with the second best thing that's possible there with what's required of you. So
yeah.
What can you expect from Sasha in the future? What's next with the agency, with your projects, with your entrepreneurship journey? What can we expect from you in the future?
I recently, me and my friend, we started a record label called Infinite. There's a guy, Virus, from Sakupa and stuff like that. We're trying to promote as many Mutare born artists as we can. So this is something like, you know, I never got the platform or the opportunity for someone to trust me, to put in money in me. Like how? So me and my friend, we trying to do something. So you're going to see more of that stuff. Already we have the company registered in the United States. The headquarters is registered in the United States. But then we also, right now we're trying to finish the whole process of getting the whole thing to be also registered in Zimbabwe. It's a Mutare company with offices in the United States. I don't know if it's making sense. Something like that. So I, in the future, of course, you know, at the end of the day, I do stuff that gives me satisfaction, but I also want to give back to the, you know, to my own people and also help other people get out there. So we'll see, you know, I will try to promote, for now, starting with artists. And then after artists, we're going to move into photographers. And then after photographers, we move into filmmakers. I want my city to have to be on the map. I want people this side in America, because I know people ask me all the time, hey, let's see, you know, pictures of where you come from. Good thing is, when I was back at home, I used to take a lot of drone footage around. So I have lots of stuff to show people this side. But I want people not to just know me this side. I want them to also know, oh, yeah, if Mutare is Zimbabwe, right? Yeah, we also know these people and these people. Like, yeah, you know, these are also my people and stuff like that. So I, in the near future, expect me to be investing and bringing more money back home than I'm spending this side. That's my future. That's what I hope. I want to have a media house in Zimbabwe. In Mutare, especially big media house in Mutare, but everything is all from United States. I don't know how I'm gonna pull that, but I'm hoping soon I'll be able to do something big in Mutare. But money coming from Mutare, from United States, and we spend the money in Mutare making videos and making people come out and, you know, just show them what we are made of. So yeah, this is something that I'm working on right now.
And that's what we love to hear at Africa's Blank Canvas, the people giving back to the community and trying to uplift other people who also have the dream, but they are limited with what's around them. The last question here will be, what advice would you give to upcoming creatives in Africa who want to follow you in your footsteps, who want to also make interesting stories, tell interesting stories through videography, take interesting pictures? What advice would you give to those people who want to follow in their creative work in field?
I would say stick to your own lane, follow, but follow at a distance and observe at a distance. Because my route, life is a journey. At the end of the day, we're going to different places. So I've had a couple of burnouts. I wish someone would have told me this back then before I knew. I had burnouts. You look at the next person, they're buying equipment like crazy. I can't afford that equipment. I try to do exactly as they're doing. And at the end of the day, I get frustrated because we have kwana kwedu at the same time. You kind of end up becoming that person. So as a creative, your art has to be unique. So I would say look for inspiration, but don't copy if it's making sense. Stick to your own lane. Your chimbuzet, okay, fine. Oh, okay. Kanadamu road, ukafika traffic light or pane robot, it's a red, you stop, like at a green, you go. But that doesn't mean kuti a ucha exactly, because when I just got a robot, and then it's gonna turn red, it's gonna stop. And then I change some energy indicator, and the next thing is gonna turn left, because just because you're supposed to be going somewhere doesn't mean kuti tesiri ufana kuenda kuHarare. Vamwe vanofanira kuenda kumasvingo, and then others are meant to go to South Africa, and others are meant to go kuDurban. So if trying to follow people, you at the end of the day you might limit yourself, and without you limiting yourself you won't know it. Maybe you're born for greater stuff, you're supposed to go far, but because you're following someone who has reached their destination out of ball, you end up hitting a ceiling. So a lot of creators, they get what's called a creative block. It's not because kuti a munasha understated quote, it's because you're comparing yourself to the next person, or you've seen someone going way far and you think you're supposed to go way far, but you're supposed to go somewhere, and then from somewhere you're gonna make something amazing out of that place that you're supposed to go to. So I would say for creators, there is look for inspiration, but do not copy. Stick to your own lane. Don't look at what's going on in the other lane. If the kind of woman, I would change my lane, of course I could change a good day. I want to go for a checkup, but it's gonna go back into that lane. Doesn't mean you also have to do the same thing. More from any BM, you are on a BM, or maybe from any fit new shape. Or on a moon any BM indicator overtaker. Motorcycles with any capacity, to lift. They know themselves that they have capacity to pull out. An indicator of a similar motorcycle overtaker when oncoming. You're trying to do the same thing with your feet. It's not a table. Would I go overtaker? Next thing is on to head on. Just because we go through certain stuff in life, and some people have gone different stuff in life that have made them become who they are. So they know what to care for. When challenges like this appear, I know what to do. But that doesn't mean that you also, when challenges like that appear, you can do the same thing. You've never faced what they've faced. You've never gone through what they've gone through. So you can't be really like them. So what I would say is, okay, fine. Just know what to tukuenda ukaona ungacho overtaker, you overtake when you feel okay, fine, it's necessary, and wapedza overtake, go back in your own lane. Don't say kuti bani oncoming and you would test kuti mota kunovhura mapombi here, you crash. So at the end of the day, you hate the grind, you hate the work, just because I was kuwana zvorikuda, just because the next person are kuita and is getting away with it. So I think it's first, just beat yourself, follow people, look for inspiration. But at the end of the day, your talent has to be still unique, and you still have to do once you follow your own lane, you do your own lane. Trust me, it's rare to have a creative block, and it's rare to have depression. No matter what other people do, you'll be like, yeah, I know my path. I'm not supposed to be there today. Maybe just come and go on. I'm seeking at the same time, but at the end of the day, that's why I thought I get 3 hours or 2 hours, but mukampa zvari sano seeker. I can swear, but mukampa maybe a month. I'm not sick at all. So at the end of the day, it's about reaching to the destination. It's not about how fast are you going. So don't look at other people. Just keep on doing what you're doing and just improve yourself. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Sorry, I talk too much.
It's fine. It's fine. Thank you so much for those words. I think people have understood that the journey is more important than the destination. You eventually get to the destination. Don't rush yourself. Don't try and keep up with other people's pace. Go at your own pace. If you are getting faster than the person you are following, you're allowed to overtake them and move on to the next stage. If not, take your time. Like you said, I think the biggest takeaway you can take away from this is that get inspired, but do not copy. I think that's something this can apply to any field, anything you're doing in life. Get inspired by people, but don't copy. If you're inspired for Albert Einstein, yes, you're inspired, but you cannot be the next one. You can't copy him. You have to find your own way in that field. So, Sasha, I'll give you your time to share your social media or platforms where people can find you, find about your agency, connect with you. Maybe they have some ideas, they want to work with you. Where can they find you?
Okay, so you can find me, Facebook is Sasha M. Kalawangoma, and then Instagram is Kalawangoma_Sasha. That's my main Instagram page. That's my personal one. And then I do have a couple of pages that are in line with stuff that I do, but you can find them on my bio. And for my agency, you can go on www.multigencapital.com or another agency, because I have two agencies. I also have another one called Gibby Labs Agency, Marketing Agency. So you can also go on www.gibilabs.com. You can also find my other agency there. And yeah, and probably, yeah, LinkedIn, I'm also the Sasha Kalawangoma. That's pretty much where you can find me.
Thank you, Sasha. I hope people reach out to you who also want to work with you. Again, thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today and share your story, your challenges, and how you succeeded in a way, how you came to be where you are today. I want to thank you from the whole entire team.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.